but that wasn't what was on my mind. I was trying to work the angle, man. I wanted to take that girl home and do it one more time, and I figured that that was a good end for me to work around, say, look, let me say I need to apologize, and I was a scumbag, and how about, you know, we go back to my house and talk about it a little bit, you know? And, didn't work. I guess, God was looking out for me in spite of myself. And the reason I share that is about motivation, because my motivation was self-centered, because I didn't care about saying anything nice and, you know, mending the relationship. I wanted to take all over again, and I had been clean a long time and was actively working on that step. And I was working in this treatment center, and she was living there, and I got a chance to talk to her, and I got a chance to tell her that that I loved her. And the thing about, like, using addicts and the money I stole, it was, you know, to me it was dog eat dog, and what happened, happened, and I got no problem with cutting that loose. I'm not, like, going down on 11th and O trying to pay back somebody that I robbed some dope from, you know. I don't think that's what the ninth step is asking me to do. The way that I make peace with that and the way that I make amends to those addicts is I help addicts when they come to Narcotics Anonymous, and if those addicts come to Narcotics Anonymous, I'm willing to help them. You know, that's how I've made peace with that in the ninth step. And the ninth step is about putting my relationship with my higher power between me and everything in my life. About trying to be the most unconditional loving person that I can. Because I hug people that don't like me, but I do it for myself. I hug people, you know, people knew that I was chanting the meeting, and some people, a lot of people were very supportive and very like, you've earned it, and we love you, and give them hell, and all that other shit. And other people were sarcastic and saying, you know, shit to hurt my feelings. But I hugged them anyway, and I did it for me, because I'm putting my God between me and them, because I'm not taking that shit home. You know? I want freedom. I want that for myself. Because it's not about them. It's about me and my recovery and my relationship with a higher power. The 10th step keeps me in the day. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Keeps me in the day. Because no matter how many years and how many days back to back I got, it's still about not using today. I heard this guy share after going out after 6 years, and he said, you know what happened? I had too many years and not enough days. He got full of himself, and he had all the answers, didn't need any help. Was putting everybody down, and any meetings suck, and look at all these personalities, and he was fucking high 2 months before he ever got loaded. And that's what happens. See, that's how the sickness works on me. It doesn't say, Seamus, why don't you just go get high, because it knows I won't do that. What it says is, look at how full of shit all these people are, man. You don't need to call your sponsor, look at what he's doing. You don't need to pray, God knows what's happening with you. You don't need to go to meetings, man. You can say all that stuff as good as anybody else. You don't need to read the text. You can recite stuff out of there verbatim. So what am I doing? I'm not going to meetings. I'm not calling my sponsor. I'm not reading the text. I'm not praying. Who's my God? I am. And you know I'm in fucking trouble when that happens. You know? That's the worst place I've ever been in my life, is being my own higher power. God, that's misery, man. I don't ever want to go back to that again. And what the 10th step does is it keeps me in the now, because this ain't about used to be. This ain't about I used to shoot dope and now I don't shoot dope anymore. It's about I used to shoot dope and I don't shoot dope, and I got a life and I am somebody. And my life is about something. You know? And the 10th step isn't about me looking at all the negatives and all the things in my life that I'm not doing and all the things that I need to do. It's about looking at the things that I am doing, feeling positive about myself, and building myself up and say, you know, you have changed in that area, you know. And you are doing good stuff, and you are working at a better relationship, and you are trying to be more humble. And, you know, you're still a whore, man. You need to work on that, you know. That's true, and anybody that knows me basically knows that. Believe me. And that's been very painful. Nobody's paid those dues more than I have, and nobody's compromised himself and lived that lie more than I have. I remember one time I chaired this meeting, man, and I was like on a roll saying all this God and spiritual love and N.A. and keep coming and all that shit, and I went up to the block, picked this girl up and took her home, was on methadone and shit, and I've been clean for like a long time. And I'm thinking, something's wrong here, you know, this isn't like what I should be doing. But I was living for that gratification, man. I was living to cop that nut, even though I wasn't using drugs. You know? Oh. I had 3.5 years clean, and the state police came to my house because I had been writing bad checks from gambling. They came and towed my car, you know, they came and repossessed my car. Like 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm living with my parents. My mother's beating on the door, Seamus, they're repossessing your car. And I'm like, oh shit. I laughed, you know, I went outside, said, hey, you mind if I get my stuff out of there before you tow it away? My mother's flipping out, and I'm like, well, I'm gambling, man, I couldn't quit. I hit that bottom. I've had 4 children by 4 different women. Child support's a motherfucker. yeah. Woo! You know I ain't driving no Mercedes Benz. But the 10-step keeps me focused, and it keeps me working on my recovery. Keeps me changing. Keeps me in today. Because it says just for today. I never have to use it again. The 11th step, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. See, a funny thing happened. In the 3rd step, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And when I got to the 11th step, I got my will and my life back. Because my will and my life now is what my higher power's will and my life is for me. Come full circle. Because my will for me is that I want to be honest, and I want to be loving, and I want to be genuine, and I want to be sincere, and I want to be responsible, and I want to be happy. You know, and to me what the 11th step is about is about communication. The best relationships in my life are the people that I communicate with the most. And I mean honestly, not just talking, but I mean when I let down my walls and I share myself with other people, those are the healthiest relationships that I have. And what I found is it's the same thing with my higher power. Because I get, you know, I've prayed to the mattress a million times, man, and I've done that. Okay, God, thank you for the stay clean, see you. Got to go. And I take off, start running my life, you know. Or I'm too tired, man, I'm just going to get in bed and do that whore prayer, lay on my back and say thanks for the stay clean, you know. And I forget where I come from. I forget what got me clean. And it's different for different people. Some people don't pray. I didn't pray for a long time. It doesn't matter. But I pray now, and I do it because I need to. Because I need to communicate with my higher power. And it talks about meditation, man. And I've done all that weirdo shit trying to find, like, the right way to meditate. Listening to that music and seascape and all that craziness, man. Like, it's just not for me, you know. Because when I came here, I thought it was about jumping pews and shaving your head and selling flowers in the airport. I thought that was like, you know. And what meditation is for me, it's just about sitting still. I just got to sit still long enough to let it happen. I just got to stop running from myself long enough to feel the presence of my higher power. And sometimes, you know, I went for a walk on the beach because I was afraid. I was afraid because I want to get honest. I've never been the kind of guy that, I don't want to come up here and say all the right shit, and I don't want to entertain you. This isn't entertainment tonight. This is about me putting it on the line and saying thank you for what you've given me. And that this has given me a life, and it's saved my life. And I was afraid. I was afraid that my ego was going to get in the way, and that I was going to be worried about looking good and sounding good more than I was about sharing what you all have given with me. And I hope that I never get to that place, because that's not what got me clean. What got me clean was people opening their hearts up to me, not telling me jokes and trying to make me laugh and say what they thought I wanted to hear. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out, you know. What that's happened is that I have knowledge. hope turned into faith, and faith turned into trust, and trust is turned into knowledge. I know that there is a loving God. I know that I have a loving God in my life, and I know that if I do my part, that the absolute best thing will happen for me. And I don't, it's beyond my comprehension, but I trust in it because it's all that I got. And I know exactly what God's will for me is. And God's will for me isn't, do I make a left or do I make a right, or should I take this job or that job? God's will for me is to practice these principles in all my affairs, to be the most spiritual person that I can be. God's will for me is to love people absolutely unconditionally, and to love myself unconditionally, because I got a hard time with that one. And the power to carry that out tells me that it's not mine, that it comes to me through the grace. The 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This is a way of life for this addict. It ain't about just going to meeting. It's about changing the way that I live. It's about working these steps and living these principles and letting people in and letting people love me so that I can learn to love myself. It's about being there for that guy that's relapsed a million and one times and he's coming back today and still giving him that hug and telling him we love you and you're welcome here and it doesn't matter. There ain't no shame in falling down. The only shame is not getting back up. And Mo, you know who I'm talking to. I love you. Because it ain't about all that, man. It's about just being there for people because people were there for me. And what I'm responsible to share in a 12-step is that through the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and the principles of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, that I am somebody, that I have a life, that I love myself, and that I'm capable of loving other people, and I'm worthy of being loved, and I deserve to be loved, and I deserve to feel good about who I am and what my life is about. That's what I'm responsible to share. And I remember when I had a couple months clean and I was riding down the road and all of a sudden I realized that I was not using drugs. I started, you know, I got tears in my eyes because I realized that I was not getting high. And I never want to let that pain get that far away from me. Last year, I was dating this girl, and we're talking about getting married, talking about having babies. That's not unusual. Never talked about it before. We were actually talking about it this time. It was New Year's Eve, and we're sitting in the bathtub. We got some music playing, some candles burning, we're eating Chinese food, and I just started a new career, man, and I thought that I had arrived. I thought this was my break. This was it, man. It was going to start happening for me. I was in love, and I was ready to forsake all others. And her husband murdered her 13 days later. Devastated me. Devastated me. I didn't want to get out of bed. Felt like somebody just ripped my heart right out. And the only thing that got me through that was there was 25 messages on my machine every single day. Seamus, we love you. Hang in there. Come over. Sleep on the couch, man. Whatever you need, call me. 2 o'clock in the morning, there were message after message after message. People coming by my house, checking on me. People just saying, we love you, man. Hang in there. Exactly a month from that day, my 19-month-old daughter died of respiratory heart failure. She got a virus and she got a heart inflamed. And you want to talk about feeling ashamed and feeling guilty because I let my pride and my ego get in the way of my relationship with her mother, and I hadn't seen her in a couple months, and I didn't take her anything for Christmas because I was fighting with her mother. You want to talk about feeling like hating God and resentment and people carried me, man. They carried me. The only reason that this addict will ever get high is because I want to get high more than I want to stay clean. Ain't no excuses, ain't no bullshit, man, because I have been through it and I've lived it and I'm not fucking quitting. I'm not laying down. But I know that without you all, I don't stand a chance. I need you. You know, and the beautiful thing is that I want you in my life, that I want hugs. I was standing out there waiting for people to come in the door to hug them, man. There was a time I couldn't stand anybody putting their hands on me. I believe beyond my comprehension that the God of my understanding loves me, and I couldn't understand, I couldn't make sense of what was going on. I felt cheated, I felt like I didn't have a God. I felt like God turned his back on me. I couldn't understand what was going on, you know, but I toughed it out every day. I just decided not to use no matter what, and I just showed up when I didn't feel like showing up, because faith for me is when the novelty of being an NA member wears off, and the novelty of being clean wears off, and the novelty of doing a million service commitments wears off, and it's just about showing up every day, trying to be a better person. I had to trust in a higher power because that's what got me off those barbiturates. And that's what's kept me clean. And what I'm gonna say is that if you're hurting, if you're dirty, low down, empty, hurting, scared, desperate, hopeless, helpless, don't know whether to shit or go blind, which way to turn, which way is up or down, you can't stop using. We love you, man. And there is hope. And what I'm hoping that we do is, I'm hoping to let down my walls. I'm hoping to let down my insecurities. And I'm hoping to open myself up. And I'm hoping to get with this principle of unity and saying it doesn't matter what you come from, who you do, what you do, any of that stuff. It doesn't matter because we need each other and that our very lives depend upon us loving each other in spite of ourselves. And that's what we come to conventions for. You know, I used to come here like trying to get laid, like everybody, all the guys at least, I don't know about the women, you know, I'm chasing that thing and coming to have that good time, and I wasn't coming to like participate in the message of recovery. I was coming here trying to take something instead of trying to give something, and I've learned that unless I give something, I'm not going to get anything, you know? All I can say is I'm grateful for the fellowship. I love the fellowship. And I'm grateful for the people in my life. I'm grateful for the God that I have. And gratitude is action. Gratitude is not sitting up here and telling you about how wonderful my life is. Gratitude is doing it when I don't feel like doing it anymore. And what I'd like for us to do before we close up, let's get up and give a couple more hugs before we cut this thing loose. Everybody get up and give some more of them unconditional hugs. And I'd also like to thank Emily for doing the signing for us, because I think that's an absolutely wonderful, beautiful thing. I'd like to close in saying, let's kick this fucking disease in the ass this weekend and give up some of that love and get to it. Give me some. Give me some more. Thank you.